Welcome to Sports with Carney, everyone. I'm your host, Logan Carney. We got a great show coming up for you. A couple exciting things happening here. This episode will actually be put up on YouTube later. Big shout out to Tyler Schlendorn and Avin Patel, who helped hook up all the equipment, the camera and everything. And we're going to start uploading them on you to YouTube. So if you missed an episode from now on, you don't have to go to the RMU Radio podcast section, which is unbelievably difficult to find. You can just go straight onto YouTube. I'm gonna let this song play a little bit out first. I really like my theme song. I just love it. Got a great show coming up. Starting at 7 o'clock again, as usual, as really has become usual. So I wasn't supposed to be on Colonial Sports Center this year, but I've been the past, you know, this will be the fifth episode in a row, I believe. So we're starting at 7 today again. The regular show time at 8 be pushed up. We got a great show coming up. We're going to dig into, I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about what's going on in my life and result to a podcast and a blog with two of my buddies that were trying to blow up. It's actually doing pretty good. It's just starting out. I believe over 270 unique visitors. So 270 different people, which is, you know, the five blog posts that we put on and the podcast we've done for a while. We're going to talk about some of those articles that are on there. We're going to do a little quick, quick look at RMU Century or the sports section there to see what's going on with RMU and all of their teams. And then we got some drama from the Steelers, as usual. So hopefully we'll get into that too. Be a great show coming up on Sports with Carney. So, before we start, just like to, again, bring up, I actually heard it on advertised on WDVE the other day, so it is going to be big, you know, bringing the Blues to RMU, it's free, on November 3rd, 2017, that is next weekend, next Friday, at 5 p.m. at Hopwood Hall, here at Robert Morris University, and that is, of course, featuring Joe West and Blues Attack, along with the screening of Blues Chronicles from the Berg. And this event is sponsored by the Blues Society of Western Pennsylvania, RMU's Academic Media Center, and RMU Radio. So be sure to check that out if you're in town and you want to get a free blues concert, free blues screening of a documentary about blues here in Pittsburgh that was made by people here at Robert Morris. So be helping the school out too. Now I'd like to thank you all for joining in. Sixth episode that we have in the show, including the live homecoming special. But for some reason, no, it's not really included. But I'm going to include it anyway because it makes it sound like I've done more work. But I'd like to thank you all. We took a break last week, gave myself an off day. Not going to lie, you know. 5 minutes before the show started, I just wasn't feeling like it. So I just gave myself an off day because it's a student radio show and we can do that here at Robert Morris. We're going to start with, you know, I'm just going to introduce you guys. You know, if you like listening to me, which I'm sure you do, but if you like listening to me, then be sure to check out some of my other work. I'm on Colonial Sports Center tonight. I've been on that past couple of weeks. That's, I believe, 4 or 5, at least this whole month, definitely, at least. And then Sports Talk in the Berg, Sports Debate Show with me and Ian Kiss and Sam Anthony, both of my editors. And then RMU Live, which is me and Gage Golding on the desk, the anchor desk of the news studio. But some things that I am proud of most is I've done a podcast with two of my buddies from back home in Plum Dan Harmon and Steve Meyer, and it's been mostly Pittsburgh sports. We've branched off into other stuff occasionally, but we're trying to do more Pittsburgh-centric themes, just sticking with Pittsburgh because it's all about the Berg on Berg Nations, what the show is called. We recently branched off and we're starting a blog, so I'd like to give everyone the link to that. Just go to bergnation.weebly.com. And you can find all of our articles, all of our blog posts, all of our podcasts are still on iTunes. So if you like listening to me, like reading me, you know, be sure to check that out. I'm going to talk about something that I wrote recently that, you know, I've had some people disagree with me that it's not possible. But I am going to tell you straight up that it is. And it is an on-campus stadium for Pitt football. Now, I know for a fact that I'm not in the minority in thinking that an on-campus stadium for Pitt football would be much better than Heinz Field. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of Pitt alumni out there that would agree with me, a lot of Pitt fans. Usually when people talk about the article, it's because people are begging for it, or talk about that subject because people are begging for it. Now, Heinz Field's a great stadium for football, for NFL football. I personally don't like it. It's not my cup of tea, I would rather say. I personally believe that football stadiums need to be more closed than Heinz Field is. Just a little bit too open. It just doesn't have this that good of an atmosphere, in my opinion. But when it comes to college football, it is just not good. They can't get, like, you can't get, you know, butts in the seats there. You can't get it. You know, last year that they had, you know, they averaged 48,000 a game. That includes a sellout to Penn State. And they had a great year last year. They beat Clemson. They beat Penn State. There was a lot of excitement. You know, Narduzzi's really turning the program around, even if they're having a horrible year this year. And they still were just over two-thirds full on the year. I'm sure if you take out that Penn State game, that attendance falls dramatically. But Pitt needs an on-campus stadium. And it is possible. It is possible. Is it likely? No. Is it going to happen? I'm not going to guarantee that. I'm not going to predict that at all. As I get a text from someone that says I can't really drop it. No, I can't really drop it because this is something I've thought about a lot lately. By the way, if you have my phone number, feel free to text me or call me during the show. I love it. Actually, no, don't call because I'm probably not going to answer. But feel free to text me and I may give you a shout out. Who knows? Anyway, back to the point. It is possible. It is definitely possible. People think funding may be an issue. Funding's not going to be an issue because I'm not proposing that Pitt will get this in the next 5 years. I'm not. I'm proposing that Pitt will get this when Heinz Field is about to be torn down, which, you know, a lot of people feel, you know, to me, I imagine it still feels like a young stadium, but it's not. It's what, 16 years old? It's 2017, so it'll be 16 years old this year. Stadiums usually last 30 to 40 years. Three Rivers only lasted 30 years, exactly 30 years. So we're already, you know, past the half-life, the expected half-life of Heinz Field. So what happens when Heinz Field is in its last leg? They're going to need a new stadium. Both the Steelers and the Panthers. They could share a stadium again, but, and here's where it gets interesting on my proposal. I say you propose a 45,000 seat stadium, 40,000 to 45,000 seat stadium for Pitt. We'll get more into the location later, but you propose this when Heinz Field has about 2 years left. And then you start talking. You start building. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. But you start building Pitt's new stadium the 2 years left of Heinz Field. Because I don't think they want to move the football stadium out of North Shore. They've built North Shore way too up. They just got the new parking garage. They built all those shops, all those restaurants down there. They're not going to want to move the football at the stadium out of North Shore, at least the Steelers. So you build Pitt Stadium 2.0, as I'm just calling it right now, although I hope that they would, you know, brand it. So you build Pitt Stadium 2.0 somewhere on campus. Steelers and Pitt both play there for a year or two while the new, well, the Steelers' new stadium gets built in the North Shore. You build the new Steelers stadium on top of Heinz Field, and that's where the Steelers play. And that's how I think Pitt can get a stadium. Because I don't think the city wants to build an NFL stadium other than North Shore. Where are the Steelers going to play when they're building that stadium? It takes a couple years to build an NFL stadium. It does. You know, they did build Heinz Field immediately after they built on the side of Three Rivers. But it's going to take a couple years to build you know, the next Steelers stadium. Where are they going to play for those 1 or 2 years? Perfect place would be Pitt Stadium 2.0. But we're going to get into the funding. And the funding is where some people think it's going to be difficult. It is not going to be that difficult. All right, I've done a lot of research on this. I know back in the day, even though I wasn't alive, I know back in the 90s, nobody thought that PNC Park would be built. Nobody thought that the Pirates would end up leaving Three Rivers, because the Pirates' attendance was horrible at Three Rivers, because it's difficult. I mean, look at the Oakland days. It's difficult for a team, for a low market team, to sell out a 50,000 to 60,000 seat stadium for baseball, even back in baseball's golden age. So it's already happened. People have already been proved wrong about this. The funding will come simply, you'll propose the two stadiums at the same point. You propose Pitt Stadium 2.0 in conjunction with the new Steelers Stadium. You propose those two to the city at the same point, so you get funding for both of them in the one package. All right, and keep in mind, it's not going to cost nearly as much as you think to build this college 45,000-seat stadium, because we're not going to make it some overly nice one. It's not going to be 100,000 seats like Penn State or USC or those schools, because Pitt can't sell out a 100,000-seat stadium, even if it was on campus. So it'll probably cost, you know, I mean, it'll be expensive, don't get me wrong, but not as much as an NFL stadium would. Granted, you're paying for both in this plan that I have. So you get money from the city, you raise taxes, you get money from Oakland. Yes, taxes will have to go up. That's just reality, unfortunately. I hate taxes, too. Everybody hates taxes. Nobody wants to pay taxes. But yes, they will go up. You get some money from... the school, of course. And they would probably raise tuition a little bit. And you get some money, although keep in mind, it won't be as much as you think it will be. It'll be just a little bit. There's a lot of people that go to Pitt. They're not going to have to raise it $4,000 for the new stadium. So you raise tuition a little bit. You get money from the school. And then you sell the sponsorship rights to the stadium. And then I assume there will be a lot of alumni that donate. And that's how you pay for the stadium. It's really that simple. Like it really is that simple. It doesn't take that much thought into finding funding for it. Parking. I mean, if you get a chance to read this article, it's on my Twitter page, it's on my Facebook page, Pitt Stadium 2.0. It's possible. It's a lot more detail on that. But parking. Well, first we'll go into location, because that ties in with parking. I think the location of the stadium, I have two spots in mind. One of them is back up in North Oakland. Now, here's the thing. If we put it back up in North Oakland, it's going to require a lot of renovation. Because you're going to have to get rid of the Fitzgerald Fieldhouse, which should have been gone whenever they built the Pete. I don't understand why that old building's still there. You have to get rid of the baseball field and the soccer field, which are nice. And I think the baseball field is not that old. But at this point, it'll be, you know, 16 years old. So it won't exactly be new whenever we're talking about my hypothetical stadium. You get rid of the parking garage, obviously, because that's where the stadium will go. I hope you know the idea, the area I'm talking about, right across from the Pete up in North Oakland. I would move the baseball stadium into the grassy, the baseball field into the grassy field, because I believe you can build it a way where there is enough room. I'll have to look more into the dimensions of that, but I believe you can fit a baseball field there. If not, you move the soccer field there. Because you can definitely fit a soccer field there. And then I would level out the ground and build the football stadium there. I would turn Fitzgerald Fieldhouse into a parking garage. And I will find some lots. I believe there's one you can turn where my site of my second proposed stadium would be. Right next to, there's a lot right next to the Soldiers and Sailors Museum that you can turn into a parking garage. And of course, they already have a bunch of them down there. And then I will also build some lots off campus, take a page from the U.S. Open book, and start shuttling alumni and fans to the game. Because college teams already do that. They do. You think there's enough parking lots around Happy Valley with 102,000 people there, 108,000, however big that stadium is? You think there's enough around USC and the Rose Bowl? No, there's not. So college teams already do that. So parking, it's not going to be, you know, you can figure out parking. All right. I would open up the end zone, the back end zone on the left, because there's houses back there and everything, so it'll be difficult to build seats back there. And it'll look kind of like a big high school football stadium, a big high school football stadium, with obviously a nicer gymnasium for the players, nicer locker rooms and everything like that. Won't be nicer than Heinz Field, but they'll be nice enough. And we'll have Pitt back on campus. Alumni are going to want to come to those games because not only would they now be, you know, coming to one of their old school's football game, people don't mind. What people forget is alumni will be able to tour their campus again. They'll be able to see the Cathedral of Learning. They'll be able to go walk around Oakland. You know, there's a lot of alumni like to do that and go back to their old schools, but they don't have as much of an excuse for it. You will sell out a 40,000 to 45,000 seat stadium on campus. You will. And it'll make, you know, with the limited number of seats, as opposed to the 60,000, you won't have people buying tickets the day of. It'll be more like an event, like it was back at old Pitt Stadium. Even though Pitt Stadium had 60,000, they still didn't sell out. My other site of Pitt Stadium 2.0 is right next to the Cathedral, or not, well, it's by the Cathedral of Learning. It's right next to the Alumni Association building in that lot there. If you tear the road down behind it, you can definitely fit a football stadium there. You would have to open up the end zone that faces the Soldiers and Sailors Museum. And I got this idea from James Santielli. He wrote an article about it about 5 years ago. I told you I did a lot of research on this. That's how I know I'm not the minority in thinking this. So I'd build a lot there. I'm going to build a football stadium there. Again, I'd make the parking garage at the top of North Oakland bigger. The parking lot that's by the Peterson, I make that bigger. And also, you can probably get funding from the hospitals, too, when it comes to building these parking garages, because they'd be able to use them not during game days. And I'd tear down Fitzgerald Fieldhouse because it's time the Peterson Event Center starts having some actual events in it. I'm sorry, but it's not booked up enough to excuse volleyball teams, wrestling teams, and all those guys from playing there. They can play there. That's why we can tear down the Fitzgerald Fieldhouse. You don't need it. You don't. The soccer team can play on the football field if they want. You can do old school, make a baseball slash football field, have the baseball team play there if you want. We can build a bunch of lots up there. Maybe put a hotel up there. You know, my girlfriend was complaining about, you know, if you tear down, if you build it there, you know, there's not enough hotels. You could build hotels up there. Yes, you're going to have to take out. Yes, it's going to be a big renovation. Yes, you're going to have to move around a lot of stuff. It'll be a lot of work, but it's possible. And when Heinz Field is coming torn down, you better believe that they're going to be thinking about doing that. Like, I don't understand how you can't think that they're not going to be looking at all their options. They're going to be coming up with ideas for a stadium on campus again in 15 years. They will. Will they go with that? Probably not. But will there be ideas around it? Yes, there will. Yes, there will. Anyway, back to the Pitt Stadium proposed 2.0. The reason I have this, I got this idea from James Santilli. This is not an original idea. Although I will take credit on the North Oakland moving stuff around plan. You'd be able to see over the right end zone. You'd be able to see the Cathedral of Learning. And behind the football field, you'll be able to see the Soldiers and Sailors Museum, Nordenberg, and everything that's back there. You see towers in the distance. The Alumni Association building will be on the right, which you can turn and make it more, you know, which would, again, bring people to the Alumni Association building, which I know has been a problem there because they haven't had enough revenue. That's why they're building a hotel there. So you can bring people there for the football games. Because what alumni would not want to go there before a football game? Hold a bunch of events. Every Saturday, you get to hold an event there. And that's where I would build it. Now, there is a hotel being built there, and that is why I think it is a problem. That is why I think it is the least likely of the two to happen, even though it would require a lot less work. Because that hotel would be 15 years old. Now, they could tear it down if they wanted to. They could. They can move. They can build hotels other places. Cities find places for hotels all the time. So they could move it. But, again, we have to think, you know, will they want to do that? So I don't think this idea, these proposals are likely. I'm not saying they're over 50% likely. I'm saying there's 100% chance that they're going to approach this. But for them actually, you know, go through with it, I don't think see that happening in 15 years. Who knows? Maybe we look back on this radio show, on this podcast, and they do build it, and you guys can all say, well, I listened to Logan whenever he called this idea. And I will say, well, what else is new? You know, and the stadium, I mean, this is just something I've thought about a lot because me and my buddy Malik Johnson, who runs the radio department for students, not the department entirely, but he's the student director, producer, whatever you want to call it, of the radio shows. And we came up with all these plans to expand Robert Morris and Pitt. Robert Morris is much easier to expand because we're in the suburbs and there's a lot of unused land that we own. Most of it's hills. You can't really do much with it. We're already going through an aggressive renovation. And there's land that we can buy right next to us that, you know, it's been a long time coming that we haven't bought it yet. Pitt is difficult because it is in the city. And I understand why there isn't a football stadium over there. But other than really not having to pay for the stadium, there isn't a benefit, a significant benefit, to having them play football at Heinz Field. Because I don't want to hear about it bringing up recruiting because they're an NFL location. Last time I checked, and I checked, Pitt has not had a top 25 class since they moved to Heinz Field. Now somebody might say, it's Pitt. Of course they haven't. I'm going to count it with you. It's a Power 5 school that had some great recruiting coaches in Dave Wannstedt and now Pat Narduzzi. It is difficult to recruit when two-thirds of your stadium are full. I would just like to correct myself. Thank you for the text message, Alexis, that it is the Athletic Association, not the Alumni Building. But the point is, you could host events there, and you can bring up prices for it. So if you're just tuning in, this is Sports with Carney. I'm your host, Logan Carney. We're going to do a quick shout-out here to Bring the Blues to RMU, free admission blues show on November 3rd, 2017 at Hopwood Hall, 5 p.m., and here at Robert Morris, featuring Jill West and the Blues Attack, along with a screening of Blues Chronicles from the Berg. Again, that is Bring the Blues to RMU, free admission, November 3rd, 2017, Hopwood Hall. That is next Friday, 5 p.m., here at Robert Morris, featuring Jill West and Blues Attack, along with the screening of Blues Chronicle from the Berg. You don't have to go to Rob Morris to go to that. I actually heard it advertised on WDVE the other day. I really couldn't believe it. But so you don't have to go to Rob Morris to go to that. It's going to be a free blues concert. So the Blues aren't dead yet. Also, like, you know, if you want to hear me more, I'll be on Colonial Sports Center tonight. I've been on Colonial Sports Center a lot lately. You can check out Sports Talk in the Berg every other Tuesday. That's next Tuesday, too. Check out RMU Live every Monday. And you can listen to our podcast, Berg Nation. That is about every week. I've been calling in the phone a lot lately because I'm up here at Robert Morris, as well as checking out that blog and going to my RMU Century Media page and reading what else I've written. So back to Pitt Stadium 2.0. It is possible. Is it likely? No, it is not likely. But it is possible. Do I really want it to happen? Yes. I would not be talking about it if I didn't. For some reason, I can't get my mind off of this. It needs to be on campus. It needs to be. There's really nothing good about having it off campus. Their recruits have not gone up. In fact, they're losing Whipple recruits to Penn State now. They're losing the top ones to Penn State. Penn State's had much better classes. They've been getting much better recruits. That's something Pitt used to always be Penn State at. Again, it's a different day and age, but still. I don't want to hear about the coaches because they have done a good job recruiting. Wannstedt's had some great recruits. Narduzzi's highest class was 30th, and that was his first year. But the only thing, it's not a stadium. The only thing that can bring recruits in is winning. Regardless of where they're playing, it's winning. Is what will bring a stadium in, is what will bring recruits in, is winning. Staying on the topic of college football, we're going to go home to RMU. Might get in a little bit of trouble for saying this, but we're going to start the Coach John Banaszak Fire Watch. As it's really been unbelievable that he was brought back this year. He's in his fourth season, still has not had above three wins in a season. And when you're in college football and you're in your fourth year and you still don't field a 500 team, then you go. They got some NFL, they got Mike Miller who can replace him. They got a great defensive coordinator who can replace him. He's had a great defense the past couple of years, really, and they've still been bad. Is unreal. They play in the worst conference in football, in all of sports, really. They've still been bad, even though they had a good defense. You know, they have LaRod Stevenhouse, the running back coach, NFL experience. You move, try and give him, you know, offensive coordinator. Why not? Why not? So this is, we're starting it this week because last week's game was dreadful. That's what I have to talk about on CSC tonight. Can you believe it? Because I don't want to relive that experience. When you lose on a pick six, you don't deserve to win another football game for the rest of your life. I've never thought I've seen. I'm laughing right now. Never thought I'd see a team lose on a pick six before. It's unreal. Unreal. Halfway through the show now, and we're going to branch off into some other stuff that's not college. The Steelers, I can see, still going through that drama that has been so synonymous with Big Ben and the Steelers over the past couple of years. And it's really just, you know, Big Ben is just not a good leader. He's not. The fact of the matter is, why is there drama every week? You're not going to convince me that you can lead a team if every single week somebody comes out and complains about something, and 90% of the time it's you. In this case, though, it's Martavis Bryant. Martavis Bryant, about 7 hours ago, so it is on this article I have on my computer right in front of me, came out and said, "You're not going to hear me complain anymore. Because he got benched for this upcoming Sunday." And I'm glad that Tomlin benched him. I personally am glad. If you don't like the way the Steelers do it, then, and you're outspoken to the media about it, you can say whatever you want to the coaches and players in the locker room, to more specifically Ben and the coaches. But if you're outspoken to the media about it, then you should be suspended for that week's game. You shouldn't play. If you're unhappy, then you shouldn't play. Especially when you came back a year from suspension. And that's the thing. Like, how does somebody have, you know, the bravery to even say something like that when you've been away from the team for a year because you were smoking pot? I don't understand how anyone in their right mind can come out and say, "I need the ball more. You're not treating me fairly," when they should have cut you because you were suspended and you're one joint away from being kicked off the team and out of the NFL. You're one joint and you're gone. One drug test and you're gone. And you telling me that you have the audacity to go up to Tomlin or go to the media and say, "I deserve the ball more. They're not treating me fairly," when they should have cut you. And you said you fought through that by yourself when they stood by you because they could have cut you. You did not fight through that yourself. They should have cut you. You should have been off the team. It is ridiculous. It is annoying. It's another word that I can't even think of. It's another us word that I can't even think of. It's just downright dumb. You know, Martavis Bryant, you're just downright dumb. Because you have no room to come here and say that they've put you in a bad spot when you put them in a bad spot last year. And when you got suspended before, and now because they're risking a lot of money to pay you when you could ruin that by smoking a joint. I don't care, you know, what people say about, you know, weed is being legalized now, so they should stop testing it. I don't care. I don't care if people believe that, you know, people say this is the only league that tests for marijuana. I don't care about that. I don't. Because the fact of the matter is, it's a rule. You're being paid millions of dollars. You know, you have a rule. And you're blatantly breaking it. And then you come back and they could have got rid of you without any repercussions. Instead, they stick by you because they believe in you. And then you have the audacity to insult them. I mean, Bryant, you know, newsflash, You're inconsistent. Okay? You're inconsistent. You are not Antonio Brown, even though you believe you are. And you're not better than Juju Smith-Schuster, who's a rookie. I don't think you are. All you are is a glorified big man with speed. That's all you are. And you know, I look at your stats. You know, 8 touchdowns, 6 touchdowns. It's incredible. It's incredible. You've had some good years, but you're inconsistent. You had 26 receptions your first year, 8 touchdowns, because they were all deep balls. It's because of your speed. You know, you averaged 21 yards. I'm not saying the Steelers wouldn't love to have you. I'm not saying the Steelers don't need a man like that. I'm not saying you wouldn't be valuable to the team. But to say you're one of the best guys in the league when you've been gone for a year because you can't keep your head on straight, it's just ridiculous. To say you deserve the ball more when Juju is much better of a human being and a harder worker, it's ridiculous. I know you're planning on leaving 2 years. Well, goodbye. Goodbye when you're gone. I hope you win a Super Bowl with us. I hope you do a great job. I don't think we're going to trade you. So goodbye when you leave in free agency in 2 years. Have fun sitting on the bench. Because the Steelers aren't paying you that much, buddy. If they were paying you more, you would have been gone when you were suspended. Getting real heated about this, man. It's just crazy. You get passionate about those Steelers. And you're just dragging the Rooneys through the mud. You know, you're dragging Tomlin through the mud. You're dragging Ben through the mud. Because you're selfish. What you're doing is just absolutely selfish. I don't understand Steelers need to be selfish, but it doesn't, you know, some players need to be selfish, but this kind of stuff is not the way you go about it. Look at Le'Veon Bell, for instance. Le'Veon Bell believes he's worth $17 million. He's a great player. He's one of the best all-around players in the league, but he's not worth $17 million. You don't give that to a running back. Personally, I believe, you know, just out of, you know, I think NFL players should make more than they're making now. I know I'm of the minority that think that, but that's a different discussion for a different day. Le'Veon Bell, in this format, with this salary cap, you're not worth that. You're a running back. You shouldn't be paid with a running back and wide receiver money because, frankly, you wouldn't be this good without the Steelers' offensive line. They can replace you. Yes, you know, James Conner will not be as good as you are, but he'll be good enough that we can get to a Super Bowl with a running game, with a decent run game. But looking at Le'Veon Bell, about when players make selfish moves, when he sat out for preseason and he came back and they didn't have 100 yards rushing until, I believe it was a game against Kansas City. See what selfishness does? You're not ready. He wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. He said he was going to show up prepared and ready. And, you know, while he didn't show up overweight, because there are players that have done that and that's much worse, he still showed up in shape. And I had an argument about this on a podcast with Dan and Steve Meyer. That's Berg Nation. And we had an argument about this. And he said, you know, you don't really need, it might have been Sports Talk in the Berg that we discussed this, actually. It's one of those two. But that's with Sam Anthony and Kiss here at Rob Morris. But they say you don't need, you know, to be there if you still do the workouts. That's not true. And then they'll be like, well, they're not even, the stars don't even play in the preseason. We're not talking about preseason. He's not practicing with the first team. You're missing the connection. That's the most important thing. You're missing the connection with Ben Roethlisberger. You're missing the connection with the offensive line. That's why Le'Veon struggled. It wasn't because he wasn't fit, because he is definitely fit. He is a hard worker. But when you don't practice with your team, you don't have that connection. It's why, you know, me, for instance, you know, I'm a broadcaster. When I am with someone constantly, you know, me and Sam and Ian, for instance, have a lot better chemistry now because we've been with each other for weeks. Me and Gage, a lot better chemistry now because we've been with each other for weeks. If I sat down with random people, I'm not going to have that chemistry. I'm not going to know when they're going to talk. I don't know when that's going to happen. That's the same in everything, and especially team sports like football. You got to have that chemistry with your offensive line. You got to have that chemistry with your quarterback. I know you've been with the Steelers for a while, but the offense isn't the exact same every single year. You got to prepare. You got to go to those practices. That's what selfishness can do. Brian's taking a different thing. No, Brian, it could be worse. Brian could take the LeGarrette Blount, I'm just going to walk out on the team entirely. So, Brian, I will give you credit. You are not as bad as a teammate as LeGarrette Blount. Congratulations. Congrats. That means absolutely nothing because he is by far the worst teammate that I've ever seen. When it comes down to it, though, you got to shut up. You just got to shut your trap for a couple seconds because you're just not, you know, you're speedy, you're big. And yes, you're valuable because of those two things, but you don't deserve to be getting the same amount of targets as Antonio Brown. You don't deserve to get that much more targets than Juju Smith-Schuster because his hands are better. He's a great blocker. He's a hard worker. And he has a couple touchdowns this year. So if you think you're worth that, you're just wrong. You're wrong. Wrong. I'd like to thank everyone for joining me today. This is Sports with Carney, your host, Logan Carney. I'm here at RMU Radio on the TuneIn app. If you want to listen to me more, you can find me at RMU Century Media. You can read my articles. You can tune into the shows, Sports Talk in the Berg, Sports Debate Show with Sam Anthony and Ian Kist. You can turn into RMU Live with Gage Golding, who is actually right outside the radio room right now as he's peeking into the radio room. I'm sure if you're watching, he can actually hear me say his name. So hello, Gage. We're talking about you right now. Oh, you want to come in? Gage, want to come in? Yeah, come in, Gage. So we're going to have Gage come in. Welcome, Gage, to Sports with Carney. You're in the first ever taped episode. We're going to record. Yeah, we're filming this.
Ooh, wow. This is a big deal.
This is a big deal.
Mic me up.
Yeah, why not? We'll mic you up. Is that mic two over there?
This is three.
Three. Here we go.
I feel like this is a big deal. This is a very big deal for me. This is my debut on RMU Radio.
It is your debut on RMU Radio. You want to sit down for 5 minutes?
Yeah, I'll sit down.
I was actually just in the middle of talking about some other shows that can listen to me out. One of them is RMU Live, which is what you're on.
I heard it's a really good show.
I heard.
I mean, I've never watched it, but I heard it's a really good show. I heard the anchors may or may not be the best in history at Robert Morris University.
Yeah, I've heard similar things too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know them, but if I did, I'd think they're pretty cool people.
Gage, we were talking about sports before, a sports-centric show.
Okay.
I'm sure you've been informed of the Martavis Bryant saga of the Steelers, correct?
Which part? Which part of the saga?
The whole situation of, you know, him just saying he deserves the ball, wants to be traded, wants to be on the team, being open about it on Instagram and everything like that, just not shutting his yapper. What's your just thoughts on it?
You know, the Steelers organization is such a very strict organization. They've kind of been a no-nonsense brand since, you know, the Rooney family started this whole ordeal. So I've been very shocked that they're kind of just working through this whole Brian. It's fluff. It's media. That's all it is it's PR, and it looks bad for the organization because there's this player that says, I don't want to play for this team. Please get me the heck out of here. Yet the organization says, no, we're going to start him in every game. That's not the Steelers organization that I grew up knowing.
It did just come out, I believe it was today or yesterday, they are benching him on Sunday.
Okay, so that's more
Steelers. So you agree with that decision?
Absolutely. Bench him. Ship him out. He's gone. Send him somewhere else.
Now, if you were Kevin why is his name escapes me? If you were the GM of the Steelers, for some reason I can't think of him. I know he's from Robert Morris. I don't know why I can't think of him. Just escaping me for 2 seconds. But if you were the GM for the Steelers, Kevin Colbert, that's it, Kevin Colbert. So if you're Kevin Colbert and you're sitting in your office, what is the offer that you would take? What do you think is a fair offer for Martavis Bryant, trade-wise?
Let me ask you this.
Say I'm the Kansas City Chiefs. I give you a call. I say I'll give you a fourth-round draft pick. Would you take it?
Well, let me ask you this. What is worth a team that is synergetic? because I don't know about you, that's being part of an organization, a team that doesn't want to work together. You're talking about a very valuable piece. Your wide receiver. You're what is he? Second or third wide receiver?
Second, third, something in that range. Him or Juju?
Your second or third wide receiver not wanting to play for the team. Where's your synergy at with that? Where is going into a game knowing that I have your back, you have my back? I think that that's invaluable. Take the last pick of the NFL draft next year. Get rid of him.
So you would just take anything. If you get anything, just go.
Within reason, yeah. But, I mean, if he doesn't want to play for the Steelers, he's gone. Maybe he needs to sit on the bench for a week. And I don't believe in irrational decisions and just doing things off the top of your head. But, you know, people have bad games and people make mistakes in the media. So, I mean, maybe benching a game will get him back to where he needs to be.
Now, he did say in a couple interviews that if they don't trade him, because the deadline is Halloween, October 31st, so Tuesday, which is also when you can check out Sports Talk in the Berg, which with me and Sam Anthony and Ian Kist. But anyway, actually, I don't even know if Sam will be on that one because he's in Dallas right now.
Well, there's Ian Kist right there.
Well, there's Ian Kist right now. He's producing Colonial Sports Center tonight as he looks into the radio room. You can check that out on the YouTube video. So anyway, because we're going YouTube now, big things happening.
I like this.
So he did say that if he wasn't traded, he wouldn't complain anymore. Do you believe him?
Why did he complain in the first place? He's with ultimately, like, we can agree, he's with one of the best national football teams ever. The Steelers organization is one of the most solid organizations in the world. Every team has their ups and downs. I don't know why he's complaining in the first place. If he says, okay, if you trade me, I'll be happy, but if you don't trade me, I won't complain anymore. What does he want? Does he want to go into free agency, or does he want
to contract? He has 2 years left, so, and he's not making much, so it's not like the Steelers aren't just going to hold on to him even if he's not playing.
No, if he's not playing, he's going to go. But I mean, if he's, I don't know what the dude wants. You know what I mean? That's what do you think? What do you think he wants?
Well, I was kind of talking about it. I personally believe I think the offer would be if a fourth round draft pick, I think would be a fair price for him, and I would take it because everyone thinks they're going to overpay for him. A team will give him just two draft picks. Remember, this is a guy that is one joint away from being kicked out of the league. So I don't think they're going to get as much as people expect them to because of his talent. I don't think they'll move him because I don't think they're going to get a good offer that they like. Because they're probably going to be expecting, they probably want a bigger offer than the fourth round draft pick that I personally would take. So I think he's going to leave in free agency in 2 years. In that time frame, though, he's going to want to have to, because he wants to go. He wants to make money when he goes. And he has that suspension, you know,
was a whole year, right? He was suspended a whole year.
But the point is, he's one away from being kicked out of the league entirely.
Absolutely.
So he's going to want to really, the rest of this year and next year, build up his stats as much as possible because that's the only way he's going to get a good amount of money because nobody's going to overpay for a guy that has won, you know, failed tests from being kicked out. So I personally would keep him only because I think his selfish motives will end up helping the team in the long run. That being said, if you can get a fourth round pick for him, I say take it. I say take it now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I say if you get it now, let's throw it back a couple years. This is going to be a really, really old name. Jeff Reed. You remember Jeff Reed?
I remember Jeff Reed.
He beat up a towel dispenser. I believe it was in a gas station bathroom, right?
Yeah.
Or something like that. He beat up a towel dispenser. The Steelers got rid of him.
The difference is he's a kicker, though.
He was with the team for how long? He was with the team for just longer than Bryant was.
That's true. That is a
fair
point.
In a kicker, there is no kick, you know, K1, K2, K3. They have so many wide receivers. You know, I'm not saying that Bryant is invaluable. He is. But you only have one kicker. You want to get rid of a kicker, you need to sign somebody out of free agency. And, if you know, like I said, the Steelers organization, he's been there for a while.
Well, they also traded Santonio away because of his marijuana suspension for 4 games. They kept on to Ben Roethlisberger after his suspension.
Well, he was a franchise quarterback.
Yes, they kept him on. They kept Bell on after his suspensions. So do you think that it's the reason they've kept Bryant? Would you say it's because of a change of mentality? Because you mentioned they have this no-nonsense form. Whereas, you know, the past past four years, you know, Bell has been suspended. Brown hasn't, but Brown has, you know, you've seen his antics on the field.
Yeah.
Bell, Martavis Bryant has been gone for a year. I can't imagine, you know, the old Rooneys in the 70s keeping on to him. Do you think it's a change in mentality that they're willing to give these guys more leeway as opposed to, say, you know, when Ben got drafted and his whole scandal happened when they cut Santonio, traded Santonio away and everything? Because they only got, I believe, a fourth or sixth round pick for Santonio, too.
I think it has a lot to do with, yeah, I think it's from Tomlin. You know, you can see that he puts up with a lot of stuff that I don't think a lot of people put up with. I think it starts with Tomlin. I think it works this way up. By no means is the Steelers organization the same it was back whenever we were kids or even before that. You know, like I said, the no-nonsense Steelers organization. I don't think they're the same way. I don't think they, you know, are going to be like that for a while. How long has Tomlin been working for them? How long has Ben been playing? I mean, Ben's near retirement. You know, Tomlin is...
He's already thinking about it. Yeah,
I bet this is his last year.
You think this is Ben's last year?
It's one of them, yeah. His years are numbered. Dude, the dude's won two Super Bowls. He's been in a near-death, you know, motorcycle accident. Like,
yeah,
you know, he's seen his better days. You can see that he's kind of going down. You know, I'm not a sports professional, I'll tell you that much, but you can see that the Steelers are looking to bring on a new franchise quarterback. Ben has left his impression here in Pittsburgh. I think he's getting there, but I know the Steelers organization isn't the same as it was back in their glory days, whenever, you know, the steel curtain and all that, so, you know, whenever the bus was there and, you know, Hines Ward. Those were the no-nonsense days, you know, at the end of Cowher's reign. I think things changed after that.
You blame Tomlin?
It's hard to point fingers because it's such a huge organization. Yeah,
there's a lot of people that do, so it's just what I was asking.
Yeah, I would say it's Tomlin. Tomlin is a different coach. Tomlin puts up with a lot of stuff. Tomlin backs up his players. I mean, and he does on times that he should, and then he does on times that he shouldn't. But, I mean, if a player takes to social media and says, I don't want to play anymore, that's like you work at McDonald's and you walk into McDonald's and say, I don't want to work at McDonald's anymore. Well, I can guarantee you ain't working at McDonald's anymore. Like, you're done. You know, I don't understand why, you know, he's still there and Tomlin backs him up on that. You know, I can understand Bell or Roethlisberger. Like, those are franchise pieces. That's just like they would have backed up Hines Ward. But I don't think Bryant is a franchise wide receiver.
I mean, I agree with you in a sense because, you know, they traded Holmes away, and Holmes was a better wide receiver than Bryant was.
Didn't he have problems as well?
He had marijuana issues, too. That was right after his MVP, when he was on Super Bowl MVP, too. So
here's the thing. Here's the difference between them. And by them, I mean, like, people that have committed, you know, offenses with marijuana and Ben Roethlisberger. Is Ben was never prosecuted. He was never, you know, it was never finalized. These guys have that on their record. All it has been is me saying that you reached across this table right now and slapped me in the face. No one saw it. That it never got tried, you know. It's as much as it went. It was just he say, she say. There's no permanency about it. Yeah, it was a big scandal and all that stuff. Yeah, it didn't look good for the organization, but still, it wasn't an actual – I mean, I don't know if it happened, and that's not the discussion, but it's still the fact
that – because he wasn't trialed.
I mean, he went to trial for it, but he was never – you know, he was never found guilty. You know, these boys were found guilty for drug related charges.
No, that's fair.
Ben Roethlisberger may or may not have done it, but that's saying I may or may not have sped home from work today, breaking the law. But, you know, if you're not caught, you're not caught.
Well, I mean, sexual harassment's a little bit bigger than speeding home.
I understand
from
that,
work.
But I mean, hey, you know, if you speed fast enough, you're going to jail. You know, you mess up fast enough with the wrong person, you know, you're going to go to jail. And he never did. And I think that could be a mix of a lot of things. But whenever it comes down to it, at the end of the day, you know, black and white, it never happened. It's all, you know, in the air.
Yeah. So do you agree then with, say, the suspension of Ezekiel Elliott and how it keeps getting overturned and everything? Because, I mean, they've had some pictures against him and everything like that, but he's never been found guilty in a court of law. But they still have – there's still evidence out there against him, and his suspension keeps getting overturned and then put back on and then overturned and then put back on, overturned, put back, just keeps going like that.
You're going to have to refresh my mind with what happened.
So the Ezekiel Elliott incident, and for everyone out there that doesn't remember, we're getting to this. This will be our last topic because we only got about 5 minutes left. But Ezekiel Elliott, the running back for the Dallas Cowboys, who in college, his girlfriend came out – before this year started, that Elliot beat her three times in a week. Constantly. And yeah, there's videos. Well, there's no videos, but there are some pictures of her having bruises. Mm-hmm. And he was suspended 6 games because that's now the minimum punishment for domestic violence. Elliot got his suspension overturned originally because in the courts because they didn't, you know, he wasn't prosecuted, he wasn't trialed or anything like that. Mm-hmm. The NFL went to a higher court, got his suspension put back on. That was about 2 weeks ago. And then last week, before the week before the game started, Elliot got his suspension overturned again by even higher court. Whose side are you on in that situation?
Well, let's talk about this. Who was it? Ray Lewis that beat his wife.
Ray Rice.
Ray Rice beat his wife or girlfriend senseless in a hotel elevator, right?
Casino, yeah.
Casino, whatever. Nevertheless, laid a whooping on her. Like, it was disturbing and made me very uncomfortable to watch. Wasn't this like last year, the year before?
Like 4 years ago, 5 years
and
ago.
And that's
when the last 5 years.
Domestic violence stuff started. And I'm 100% for it. Don't get me wrong. I'm playing devil's advocacy here. If there's no proof, I mean, like I said, the same thing we step back to. I can say that you reach across this table right now and slap me in the face, and there's no proof. Should he be suspended for 6 games? If anybody can say that, anybody. I'm not saying it didn't happen, and, like, I could fall out of bed tonight and bruise my face. You know,
I understand.
Freak accidents happen, you know, and I'm not saying that, but do I think it should be overturned left and right? No.
So what you're saying is, unless there's proof that he did it, do you not take the pictures as the proof, or do you think you actually need, like, for instance, and Ray Rice had the video of him actually, you know, hitting his wife. Do you think you need something along those lines? Because then it comes down to the point with, you know, when it comes into this very touchy issue, as we get in there the last 3 minutes, you know, what is enough proof to put someone away? And I think that's really the big thing around Ezekiel Elliott and this trial going on and what happened with Ben Roethlisberger and everything like that. What is enough proof to suspend somebody or even kick somebody out of the league for doing something, you know, so horrible as those two crimes that they were alleged to have done?
Let me ask you this. Does Ray Rice still play?
No. Well, he's allowed to, but nobody has signed him.
Okay. Yeah. That is – he should be locked away for that. That's my opinion. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a judge. But that's absurd. I know we only have a couple minutes left, but that's absurd. Ray Rice needs to go. That's crazy. Needs to go. Is it going to happen and there's not going to be proof? Yeah. Is there people that are going to make stuff up just because of the money, the fame, and the news and all that stuff? Absolutely. Do you know how much money those stories make? Do you know how much TMZ pays for that stuff and these other news outlets? Big money. There's big money in for these people. Did it actually happen? The world may never know. But I feel like there needs to be a threshold. Just because someone says something doesn't mean that they can throw you out for how long. Just they shouldn't be able to suspend you for so many games. That's my opinion.
Do you trust the NFL to investigate this stuff thoroughly enough? Like, do you trust them with the – because they said the Elliott situation, they investigated thoroughly enough. Do you trust them to investigate these? Because, you know, Goodell has had a history with awful suspensions. But he only has suspended Ray Lewis or Ray Rice originally 2 games, you know, for the hit.
After seeing that video too, yeah. No, I don't trust the NFL enough. And then the weird thing is like, is it the NFL or is it legal case? And then what happens is they get mixed, and then that's where the problems are, I see. So it either needs to be one or the other, but the NFL isn't going to do enough.
All right. Last question here, just quick. And this is just a quick question. Do they actually have to go to trial for you? If you were Commissioner Goodell, do they have to go to trial for you to suspend them? Yes or no?
No.
No?
I think that the commissioner should have an almighty power. He's in that position for a reason.
All right. Well, Gage, thank you for joining me for the last 10 minutes of the show as we're going to get out here with the theme song. So, Gage, anything you want to say about RMU Live or anything like that?
Hey, just check us out on RMU Live. I heard we're pretty good. Mondays at 1 o'clock, Channel 16, or on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Twitter. Find us on all of this stuff. You know, just absolutely great. And as I'd like to thank you all for joining us as we get play out with the Arctic Monkeys. I'm Logan Carney here of Sports with Carney. Thank you, Gage, for joining in on this great episode. And you'll find us on YouTube. We're going to start posting it later. And you'll be able to watch it now, so you won't just have to go through the very confusing RMU Radio podcast. So thank you all for joining us. Have you got color in your cheeks? Do you ever get that feel that you can't shift the tide that sticks around like summits in your teeth? Are there some